My name is Shimon Shamir. I am a professor emeritus of Middle Eastern history. I spent a few years in our neighboring countries, 5 years in Egypt, the second phase as ambassador of Israel in Egypt. Then I served as Israel's ambassador in Jordan, and I am back at my university, where I do research and teach students. Well, the attitude of the Arab countries to Israel has undergone a number of stages. At the beginning, it was all negative. You know, in 1948, not only that the Arab states did not want to recognize Israel, but they actually and actively came to destroy it in the war of 1948. And this was a basic attitude which was even radicalized at the time of Nasser with his vision of pan-Arabism and struggled against imperialism, and Israel was defined as belonging to the imperialist camp and so on. So the attitude was very negative. It all changed in 1967. And 1967 changed attitudes in the Arab countries in a number of ways. First, the remarkable victory that Israel had in a few days convinced many people in the Arab world that the vision they have of destroying eventually Israel, and therefore there is no point in accepting it, was shattered. The second factor was that for the first time Israel occupied territories that belonged to neighboring states. So for the neighboring states, the main issue became how to get back those territories and not so much the issue of the existence of Israel. And this was a period where negotiations started, leading to a peace agreement with Egypt, peace agreement with Jordan, and finally to the Arab Initiative in 2002, in which the Arab world, as a consensus, accepts the existence of Israel and is ready to make peace with it on a number of conditions that some of them are acceptable to Israel, some of them should be negotiated, but we are now in a situation in which the dispute with Arab governments is mostly on the terms of peace and not on peace itself. Because religion can also have elements which can be used for solving conflicts in a different way compared to what is happening today. If you regard religion with its basic humanistic mission and vision, both Judaism and Islam, the two religions that are relevant in our arena of operations, you will find in these two religions many common elements and many elements which oppose violent conflict. Both religions, for example, have this famous saying that man was created in the image of God. Man in general, not the people of this country or that country. Both religions have the idea that there are values that oppose violence and values of peace. And through constructive dialogue between the two religions or people who belong to the two religions, you can think of ways to at least moderate the conflict. Unfortunately, all the attempts I know, and I participated in many interfaith dialogues, all the attempts so far have very limited influence on the situation on the ground. The liberal Muslims, liberal Jews, who meet each other, who have long discussions, who even and articulate plans for reconciliation between the two, the peoples belonging to these two religions, so far belong to minorities in their society. And therefore, if we accept the situation as it is, religion for the time being is a part of the problem, not of the solution.
Yeah.
Well, as a historian, I can tell you that Jews and Muslims were close to each other throughout history.
Yes.
And the example you quote of the acceptance of the Jews expelled from Spain in the Ottoman Empire is just one example.
Yeah.
There are other examples. If you think, for example, of Andalus, of Muslim Spain, and the cooperation between Jews and Muslims, actually the flourishing of a Jewish culture within the framework of Islam, and also on the practical level, Jews who occupied very high-level positions at that time.
Yes.
So throughout history, the situation was very different from what the fanatics describe today.
Excuse me, the physician of Bayezid II and Suleiman the First were Jewish doctors, actually.
Yes, yes. I think the Ottoman Empire has a good example of such a symbiosis, I some say, cooperation and coexistence, not only of Jews, of all the religions. You had the millet system, which gave the Jewish community an autonomy. Actually, Jews were judged by their own courts at that time. And they had only, that was the Chacham Bashe in Istanbul, who was the head of the Jewish community, just as they were heads of other non-Muslim communities. So this situation existed, and it found expression in many ways. Take, for example, the greatest Jewish philosopher, Maimonides.
Yes.
He is famous for his ruling, what Muslims would call a fatwa, about the right of Jews to pray to their God within a Muslim mosque. It started, I'm not sure you're familiar, everybody is familiar with this case. It started with a question by a Jewish carpenter, I think he was working in a Muslim mosque. And he asked Maimonides, the great rabbi, what happens with why I work there? Time for prayer comes. Can I pray within the mosque? And Maimonides said, yes, you can. And he used this opportunity to express his opinion that Islam is a perfect monotheism. There is no difference between Jews, between Judaism and Christianity in these terms of in Islam it's called Tawheed, that there is one God. And the Jews and Muslims share the same concept. Actually, there are many more similarities if you think about these two religions. For example, Islamic law, Sharia, it's parallel to the Jewish law, Halakha.
Yeah.
And basically, they are the same word. Sharia is a path, and Halakha is also a path that people are expected to tread. Take the structure of the theology of the two religions. They're both based on written scripture and oral rulings. In Islam, we have the Sunnah, the Quran, and we have the Hadith, which originally was oral, was verbal. In Judaism, you have the Torah, the Bible, and you have the Talmud, which also developed exactly like the Hadith. So there are so many similarities. Both religions don't have a clergy, like in Christianity. And the people who have religious authority are those who are learned. Alim, those who are ulama, rabbis, exactly the same word. They are not clerical entities like in Christianity. We are supposed to intermediate between man and God. No, the only authority is based on the fact that they know the law. In Islam, they know the Sharia. In Judaism, they know the Halakha. So there are so many similarities. Israelis have a great affection for Turkey. Used to pour to Turkey for vacations, for tourism.
Yeah.
And not only because it is near and there are opportunities, people simply, Israelis felt good in Turkey.
Yeah.
They felt very close to the people, to the landscape, to everything. And I think there were similar things among Turks, but this is not for me to tell. So there are many things that bring us together, and of course the economic factor, I think, is the most important. Even in the worst time of the Turkish-Israeli crisis, the economic cooperation continued.
Yes.
Silently,
yes,
but it
yes,
continued,
yeah.
which shows a simple thing, that there are interests. And where there are interests, I think there is also a friendship.
Yeah.
Many Israelis, including myself, had the experience of talking to Arab personalities in countries where they do not recognize Israel, because in Egypt and Jordan there is no problem. And they express very positive opinions, while in public they continue expressing very hostile attitudes to Israel. So there is this problem of the public and the private, which means that Arabs have also an important task to educate their peoples. You see, I spent 7 years in Arab countries as first the ambassador, then head of an academic center. And I could observe this. There is no way for an Arab in our neighboring countries to know Israel seriously. The press never describes Israel in terms of their social realities, in terms of their culture, of their achievements in technology or in other areas. They focus always on the negative. And the image that their publics get from their media exceedingly negative. I don't mean that they are not supposed to criticize Israel on things that they feel should be corrected in Israel. Israeli press is also very strongly critical many times. But in the Arab world, the media go beyond that. They are so one-sided and so often exaggerate everything that is negative in Israel, sometimes using anti-Semitic things,
yeah.
That the outcome is that the public has a negative, a very negative view of Israel, which perhaps, to go back to our previous point, which makes it necessary to the politicians then to turn themselves toward this reality and speak in the same terms to their publics. So I think what should happen really, and I told many of my Egyptian, Jordanian friends, they should do something about their media. Perhaps in Israel we can also improve our coverage of the Arab world, our acquaintance with the Arab culture, with Islam. All this is done in Israel, but not sufficiently.